Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Drive Time. I am Brian Coates, sitting in for Pastor Randy Barton, and I have got a few things on my mind I'd like to share with you today on this rainy day. It's been a rainy day. It's going to be off and on rain for the better part of 2 weeks, and not really seeing any frozen precipitation, thankfully, in that forecast to come. There may be some latter part of next week, but nothing major to show for. And we're approaching the middle part of December over the next week and a half, and still haven't seen a good snow. And some of you are happy about that, and some of you are upset about that. But whatever it is, we're getting some good rain, and I thank God for that good rain that we're getting. A lot going on in the world, as some of you may know. We're dealing with news information that is startling. It's aggravating. You hear stories like the website designer in Colorado that was running her website business and refused to build a website for some sodomites, and was sued for that. This has been 6 years ago when this case started, and she has this lawsuit going all the way to the Supreme Court, and looks like they're in favor of her situation, which is good for Christian businesses in America. But then you have this marriage bill that came into the Congress that both houses passed. The Senate passed the bill earlier. Actually, the House of Representatives passed the bill earlier in the year, and the Senate passed the bill at the end of November. And then it went back to the House, and the House has blocked the religious freedom aspect of that bill. And so there's much arguing to take place over that between now and the new Congress, which is coming up in January, from those that have been recently elected. It's a big mess over issues in the Bible. And let's put it like this: issues in the Bible that are very clear when it comes to defining what sin is and what the people of God are to do and what the world's going to do. And don't just point back to the Old Testament and the old law and the Old Testament. These are issues we're dealing with in Romans chapter number 1. It's enough that God gave us what he gave us in the Old Testament, but we have New Testament scriptures that are very clear, including Romans 1 and others, that God intended things to be done in a certain way. And when we start messing around with that, we're messing around with God's mercy, and we're messing around with God's judgment and his wrath. And so pray about these issues as you go throughout your day and you go throughout your evening, that God will give wisdom to the new House of Representatives that is coming on, and to the new senators that are coming in, and that God will change the heart of our leaders. He can do that. He's done it before. He can do it again. And with that being said, I know, being the Christmas season, and I have this app on my phone, and my son, my four-year-old, comes up to me every morning wanting me to open it up. And when you open it up, it has this Christmas tree, and it gives this chime of bells, and it shows how many days are left until Christmas. And I opened the app this morning with him watching, and it said 19 days. 19 days, and we're in, you know, you may be in full Christmas mood. You may have your decorations put out, and you may be waiting to the last minute. You may have handled some of your Christmas shopping. You may be waiting to the last minute. It is Christmas season. And I was preaching it at our church on Sunday at Arrington Branch. And I'm dealing in this Christmas season at the church with the characters of Christmas. When we think of Christmas, you know, a lot of times your mind goes to reindeer or a sleigh with snow, or perhaps the Christmas gifts. And there are different characters that we place in our minds when we think of Christmas. Some of you may think about Rudolph, or you may think about Jack Frost, or one of these other characters, Frosty the Snowman. Although those are nice, entertaining features for wintertime, there are real characters that are mentioned to us in the scripture around the Christmas story. And I was preaching this past Sunday about the angels. That was the characters that I was dealing with this past Sunday, about the angels and how they said one thing to the shepherds at the end with the multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, here's what they said. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, there are two perspectives in that phrase. Glory to God in the highest is how we see God. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men is what God can view in us. And the ultimate goal of that verse is the millennial reign of Christ and how that he will bring peace and goodwill toward men on earth. He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron, and it'll be his ultimate goal to bring peace, and he will. When he comes, you know, he's going to take us out in the rapture. We'll go to heaven for some time, and then we'll come back at the end of the tribulation period, and he will establish his throne, and he'll bring peace to this earth. But did you know, in the midst of the horrific news stories that we read, and I was talking to a family of a foster family, a husband and wife team that have adopted several children, and they have some foster children as well. And one of the figures that they threw out to me was that in Western North Carolina, there are hundreds, not dozens, but hundreds of children, babies, that are born addicted to drugs and that are waiting on somebody to take them in their home. Hundreds. Now, I have an exact figure, and I won't throw that out today. It belongs to one of the Western North Carolina counties, but it's in the hundreds. It's in the multiple hundreds. You think about things like that. Then you think about the situation where there's school boards in Western North Carolina that are weighing the options and the expenditures that it will cost to put in third bathrooms in all of their school systems so that children, not adults, so that children who don't know the definition of their own gender won't feel uncomfortable by using a boy's or a girl's restroom. That's happening in Western North Carolina. You think of, and your mind ends up in a conundrum of sorts where you're like, how could this be? How can this be in the buckle of the Bible Belt? How can we hear these stories? How can this take place? How do we have abortion running rampant? How do we have the sodomites doing their thing in a raging passion? How do we have this many children that are born addicted to drugs? How does all of this happen? And all I know to tell you about that is that it's mankind and his depravity and his running away from God, just like all the way back to Eve, where God drew a line with her and Adam and Eve stepped over that line with God and broke God's rule. And God still has rules. Those things don't change. His character is immutable. He doesn't change. So we fast forward back to the story of Christmas and the angels saying to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Although there's not a worldwide peace to be established until Jesus is on his throne in Jerusalem, that it won't matter if there's 2 billion Muslims, which there are. It won't matter if there's 2 billion Catholics, which there are. It won't matter if there's 1.5 billion Hindus, and there are, and another 1 billion Buddhists, and there are. That won't matter. What will matter is that Jesus Christ will be the king of the world, and his throne will be the centerpiece for peace on earth. It'll be the hub. It'll be the main place where peace on earth will come from. Until then, is it possible for you, sir, or you, ma'am, you young person, is it possible for you and I to have peace? Certainly. Absolutely. Without a doubt, it's possible for us to have peace. As a matter of fact, when you think of the fruit of the Spirit, what's number 3? Think about it. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. peace is number three. With the fullness of the Spirit of God, a man and a woman or a child can have peace. So my mind this afternoon when I was thinking about prayer time and drive time and what we're going to talk about today, and my mind went to Isaiah 9:6. And the list of names that Isaiah attributes to Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter number 9. I won't read the whole passage for time's sake, but this is one of my favorite ideas at Christmas time. And I want to share this with you as this being the, and I do have the ability to sit here with this microphone in my face and tell you all the bad that's happening. And I've told you several nasty stories that are taking place right now. It's happening. There are terrible things happening in our country. Awful things. We've got the election in Georgia. And before the first vote was cast this morning in Georgia for the Senate race, the very heavy and important Senate race in Georgia, before the first vote was cast, there had already been 2 million early votes cast. Before the first one was cast today. There's all kinds of things going on, and it puts your mind in a very unpeaceful environment. So we go to the list of the names mentioned in Isaiah chapter number 9 and the Christmas story of Isaiah chapter 9. Here's the list. Jesus is called Wonderful. You know the rest. Many of you know the rest. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. So let's take just a minute and fast forward to today. You can go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Let's plug those names into Adam and Eve. Wonderful. Yes, absolutely. This is the Creator of the universe. He has made this garden that they're living in with all of the animals and all of the beautiful vegetation and the fruits and the grace of God that is flourishing in the Garden of Eden is wonderful. What about Counselor? Yes. God told Adam and Eve exactly what to do and what not to do. He made it very clear for them, and it wasn't difficult. As a matter of fact, it's one of the most simple passages you'll read in the whole scripture. You can have all that you want except this one thing. Counselor. What about the Mighty God? Oh yes, He is the Mighty God. And when it comes down to the disobedience of man and the mightiness of God, you've drawn a line where God is going to win every time. And that caused the future to be set for every man and woman to be born with a sin nature. And as soon as you're coming out of the womb, you're headed toward the grave. Some people it takes a few minutes to get there. Some people it takes a century to get to the grave. But either way, when you come out, you're headed to die because He's the Mighty God, and He drew a line and said, don't do this, and men do it anyway. But at the same time, as the Mighty God, He made a way for them to have access to Him. And that's where we see the Everlasting Father stepping in, knowing that He loved Adam and Eve enough. He was going to bring Jesus Christ to this earth, to die on a cross, to be buried, and to rise again the third day, according to the scriptures. And then we have the last name, the Prince of Peace. God establishes peace with man through one highway. There's one path. There is one escape ladder. There is one rope to pull you out of your hole of sin, and that is Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. So let's, and you can apply these names to any story in the Bible. It's amazing. Go to David and Goliath, wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You'll see those names of God and Jesus in the story of David and Goliath. Fast forward to Daniel in the Den of Lions. Fast forward all the way into the New Testament and plug that into the Gospels and how you think of the storm where the disciples were in the boat and the ship was full of water and And you can plug in all of his names. Wonderful. Yeah, he's wonderful in the fact that he created the environment that they were in. He's the counselor. He was the one that was able to give them instructions on what to do and what not to do. The everlasting Father. You can't have a storm big enough to get rid of God. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God. All of these are seen in these Bible stories. Now fast forward to today. December of 2022, heading into 2023. We've got a year coming up that nobody's ever experienced before. 2023 is a brand new year, and we're just a few weeks away from it. And in December of 2022, we have the opportunity to see Jesus Christ in these five ways. All the bad news stories, everything you read on the internet blogs, everything that comes across the wire, everything that's on the evening news shows, everything that comes across the cable news networks, all of it that's on the talk radio shows and on the morning public radio, none of it can escape the five names of Jesus Christ. How about wonderful? Look at the day in which we're living. The hour in which we're breathing God's air right now. God gave us that oxygen to breathe because he's wonderful. There are people that don't, if I'm looking at the world, I'm looking at the situation in the world today, there are people that I would feel like didn't deserve the air that God has made for us as the creator, the wonderful creator, and yet I'm enjoying it. I don't deserve it, and you're enjoying it, and you don't deserve it. He's wonderful in that he gives us air to breathe. He's wonderful in that Jesus Christ made a way for you and I to enjoy a meal on this Tuesday. You got to eat. You get to enjoy the pleasures of your family. You get to enjoy the clear water that comes out of the ground in our wells and our water systems that God has blessed us with. He's wonderful. And you say, well, everything's bad. No, everything's not bad. I preached an entire message on this at my church last year, that it ain't all bad, and it's not. Not everything's bad. Is there a lot of bad? Sure. Is there truckloads of bad? Yes. Is there entire universes of difficulty right now? Yes. But the truth of it is, it's not all bad. Wonderful. What about Counselor? That's that right there, that name of Jesus Christ is what we should really all be leaning on right now in this moment. What do we do about the transgender restroom issue with the children? What do we do about having 98 gender identities right now? What do we do about that? What do we do about the abortion laws in some states being so catastrophic, so barbaric, that if a child going through an abortion is born alive, they're laid on a cold stainless steel table to die by themselves? It happens in this world today. What do we do about it? What do we do about the cake decorators and the website designers and the photographers and now in the future, the churches that currently have the right to look at a non-traditional couple that's not a man and a woman getting married as members of God's church? And to look at that non-traditional, whether it be two men or two women or whatever it's going to be in the future, look in them and say, no, you can't use my camera for your wedding. You can't use my kitchen for your wedding. You can't use my church property for your wedding. And those question marks are floating around everywhere. What do we do about that? Well, that's the second name of Jesus in Isaiah chapter number 9, Counselor. Get on your knees. You get in your prayer closet, you get your King James Bible, you open it up and you ask God, what do I do about this? Then you flip through the pages of your Bible, and God breathes through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost off of those papers, off of those pages, into your eyes, and you hear it through the Word of God being spoken into your ears, through the reading of the Word of God, and through the reading with your eyes and your ears, and you see God's Word and His Holy Scriptures being read and taught and preached and discussed, and through those discussions and through those lessons and through those messages and through that personal reading time, God brings you answers because He's the counselor. What about the mighty God? Well, what's He able to do? What about Russia? I know Russia is in a... You know, that's terrible. What about North Korea? It's awful. What about Iran? Yes, that's a terrible situation to talk about. But we serve the mighty God. We're in the family of the mighty God. What about the weather problems right now? We have the mighty God. What about everything taking place in the world that we're biting our nails over and walking back and forth and trying to figure out what to do? He's the mighty God. He's got the answer, and He's got the power to take care of it. What about our churches that need revival? He's the mighty God. What about your children and grandchildren that need to get born again? He's the mighty God. What about that bill that came in the mailbox that you didn't expect? He's the mighty God. You just can't plug Him in wrong. What about the everlasting Father? That's where you crawl up in the presence of God with your Bible and your prayer closet, and you just lean on Him. It's okay to go to God in a time of prayer and to unload everything. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say you need to do that. One of my children came to me the other day. He wrapped his arms around me with a tear going down his cheek, and he said, "I want to do such and such." He was telling me what he wanted to do. And then he said, "I just don't know how." And that opened up a door for me as dad and for my wife as his mom to look at him and say, "Let's do this together. Let's figure out how to do this together." Because that's what God gives fathers and mothers for. And you've got a God that's the everlasting Father that you can go to Him and say, "Lord, I don't know how to handle this. But You are the counselor. You're wonderful. You're the mighty God. And You're my everlasting Father, and I know that You're going to get me all the way to heaven, and between here and heaven is the everlasting Father. You're going to help me get there." But then there's the last one, the Prince of Peace. There is no greater solution for the trouble in the world today than the very Prince of Peace Himself. Do you know what the U.S. Congress needs? They need the Prince of Peace. Do you know what the Muslims in Palestine need that are threatened to run the children of Israel into the Mediterranean Sea? You know what they need? They need the Prince of Peace. You know what Kim Jong-un needs when he gets up in the morning hating the world? He needs the Prince of Peace is what he needs. And then you come back here to Western North Carolina and go into a mental facility where a mother has just let go of one of her kids because she's so addicted to some controlled substance that she can't take care of her own children. You know what she needs? She needs the Prince of Peace. A dad that can't lay down his liquor long enough to even walk a straight line to the bathroom to throw it up needs the Prince of Peace. That's who we all need. And I'm a pastor in Madison County, and I'll tell you what I need. I need the Prince of Peace. I need the Everlasting Father. I need the Mighty God. I need the Counselor. And I need the Wonderful Creator of all things. This is what we need this Christmas season. It's what we need to answer all. Hey, this vote is coming up from the Supreme Court. They've already leaned towards, and I haven't read the story in the past few minutes, but they're leaning toward a victory for this Christian business owner who won't build a website for a sodomite couple. That's good news. It's good news to hear that certain things are happening in it, but we've got loads and loads and loads and loads of awful news. But what outweighs all of that is wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this time together with you. Thank you for the Word of God and how great it is, how wonderful and marvelous it is. Help us to lean on you in these last days for all that's needed. Let all be done to bring honor and glory to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm Pastor Brian Coates, sitting in for Pastor Randy Barton. God bless you, and I'll see you on Thursday.